Let's pray before we share the word. Father, we thank you for this time and just need your Holy Spirit to bring revelation and understanding and anointing in your word. Let's pray, Lord God, that we take it to heart and take heed to your warnings and be strengthened to walk worthy of the calling we've received. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start reading from Matthew 26 and start in verse 36 to 46, the account of Jesus in the garden. So let's start in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he said, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then he came to his disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." So over the past little while, that one verse just kept coming to me over and over. And even kind of preparing, or when we had the men's breakfast, the verse about watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I want to share about watching and praying. And it's really important to take heed to those words, because when Jesus was saying this to his disciples, he knew there was a huge test coming. And what was Jesus doing? He knew that he had a big test coming. He was going to be arrested right after this and go to the cross where he would die for us, but he had to carry the weight and the sin of the world and be separated from his Father for that time. So what was he doing leading up to it? He was watching and praying. What should we be doing day by day by day? Watching and praying. Being watchful. What's the opposite of being watchful? The opposite is slumbering and sleeping. And I'm not talking about naturally. See, even in the Bible, when it speaks about the disciples were falling asleep and they couldn't watch and pray, the main message for us is not that we can't have a great night's rest, because the Lord gives sleep to his children and to his beloved. But it's about spiritually slumbering and sleeping. Spiritually not being sober-minded and alert. Right after this, Jesus was arrested, and I think even Tim has shared this recently, and so on. The disciples, they just fled. And Jesus said, "You know, on account of me, all of you will fall away," right? And that night, they all fled and left Jesus, and Peter kind of hung around at a distance and then denied him. They weren't ready for the test. So I was just thinking about that because in my life, I know tests will come, I know temptations will come, and I want to be ready. I want to be alert and watchful so that I will not stumble. Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples, when they really wanted to know how to pray, Jesus taught them. And one thing he says, keep me from temptation and deliver me from the evil one. That's something that we need to pray. Something we should be praying regularly. Lord, keep me from temptation, deliver me from the evil one. So I want to read a few passages where that same word is used, the word watch. So the word watch means to be awake and alert, to be vigilant, to take heed, to be cautious. It's a verb and it's present tense, which means it needs to be ongoing continually. It's not something, okay, I watched 5 years ago and, you know, when I made a decision to follow the Lord. No, it's right now, today, at this very moment, I need to watch. I need to be present because the enemy wants to bring a snare. It's in 1 Peter 5:8, when Peter is saying he's now speaking from experience. Because he's saying, be sober, which means be self-controlled. And be vigilant, which means be watchful. He's repeating the words that Jesus spoke to him. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So how are we going to do it? We need to be self-controlled, and we need to be watchful. And we need to be steadfast in faith. Faith is the only way that we can overcome the world, is through faith. But so our faith doesn't fail us. We need to call on his name. We need to be vigilant, self-controlled, be sober-minded and alert and know that it's serious. So we think about being spiritually alert. It's a mind and spirit is attuned to danger and deception. When Jesus says, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? What was Jesus doing when he was watching? He was crying out. He was crying out and saying, Father, not my will, but yours be done. That is the example, the best example of being watchful. That's why it's watch and pray. It goes so together. Watch and pray. It's just like in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That's watchful. Continue earnestly in prayer, being watchful, and mix our prayers and our watchfulness with thanksgiving. So to learn from Jesus, being watchful is praying to God, saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Let's look in Mark 13, because watch and pray, he uses these words together frequently, and also he uses them frequently with regards to the day that Jesus comes back. Being ready, right? So it's being ready for temptation and being ready for his return. So let's look in Mark chapter 13. And start in verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. See, these are the words of Jesus Christ. It's the words of Jesus. What does he say? Take heed, watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. Be awake. Be alert. Be sober. Be self-controlled. I want to focus on that word, being sober. When you think of someone who's drinking alcohol, what happens to that person? Their judgment becomes impaired. They might be aware of some consequences, but they don't really care about them. They know, you know, that drinking and driving is wrong, but many will do it anyway. They might know that committing sexual immorality is wrong, but all of a sudden the consequences aren't that serious anymore. And so your judgment becomes impaired. And that's why there's a lot of warnings about drinking in excess. And drunkenness is sin. But as a parallel, in the same way, spiritually, being sober-minded. What is that alcohol to our spirit? If we think about alcohol and how it affects the body, what is that spiritually to us? It's the world. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. As we partake in these things, we become spiritually numb and hardened and not sober-minded, not alert, not watchful. So now our heart becomes calloused and the consequences aren't as severe. So we're not sober-minded. So we have to be alert and watchful because we know that there's a time that Jesus is coming back very soon. As it says in 1 John, it says, brothers, we know that these are the last days. And then he says, it's not the last days. This is the last hour. It's the last hour. What type of men and women should we be knowing that it is the last hour? We should conduct ourselves in holiness. We should conduct ourselves in purity, in love one for another. Because we know the consequences. I read this on Friday, but, you know, it's good to remind ourselves of the consequences of sin. Because we want to be sober-minded, and the Word of God makes us sober. The Word of God makes us sober-minded, so we need to read the Word. We need to have it in our hearts. That's being watchful, is putting the Word in us, believing it, meditating on it, pondering it, thinking about it. That causes us to have a sober heart and mind. So at the end of Revelation, near the end, it says in Revelation 21, verse 7 and 8, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly and the unbelieving, the abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then in chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gate into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those who love and practice a lie are the hypocrites, right? People who might profess to know God, profess to know him, but deny him in their heart with their actions. When you think of it, it says outside are dogs. What is that referring to? It's basically those who indulge. You know, dogs don't have any self-restraint. You put a big bucket of food and a lot of them will eat it, overgorge themselves. You know, I had a dog when I was young. It was a mix of a Rottweiler and an Akita. And, oh, he was such a nice dog, but one day I put the food in front of his face and I needed to move it or something, and all of a sudden this nice dog turned into a wild lion that snapped and almost took my hand off because his flesh and his desires for food overtook him. But I wasn't a loving, caring person anymore. I was someone taking his food. So outside are the dogs, the ones that have no self-control, the ones that just indulge in sexual immorality and impurity, the ones that just live like wild beasts. You know, Paul talks about, you know, the false prophets and how they're wild beasts. And he says that they have no restraint over their eyes, no restraint over sexual immorality. Those are beasts. So let's look in Acts chapter 20. In verse 31. So we know the church at Ephesus, and Paul wrote such a wonderful letter to the Ephesians. He wrote it about 5 to 7 years after he departed. This is the account of when he stayed with them for 3 years and he labored night and day with them. And, you know, great, wonderful things were happening there. But as he was leaving, he said in verse 31, "Therefore watch. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Because he's saying that there's going to be wolves that are going to come in. And then he said, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock." Right? Be careful, because these wolves are gonna come in and try and deceive. We know about 35 to 40 years later, Revelation chapter 2, Ephesus was being warned about losing their first love. You know, 40 years seems like a long time, but it can happen in a year or two. It can happen in 6 months, that we can lose our first love. And sometimes we don't think that's a very serious thing because we're doing such good things. Because the Ephesian church, they had a, let's just look at that. There was things they were doing really well. Revelation 2, in verse 2, "I know your works and your labor and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." So many wonderful things that, characteristics and fruit, and how, you know, they labored and they said they had patience and endurance, and they were able to have discernment and test those who would say they are of the truth and weren't. But they had forgotten something. They'd forgotten from where they had fallen, from where they came, and that first love had waxed cold. And he was saying, you know, to him who overcomes, you know, he says to them, repent and do the first works. Repent and do the first works. When you, you know, first came to me, and how I was everything to you, I was your all in all. When, as it says in the Song of Songs, you know, "I am my beloved and he is mine, and his banner over me is love." Come back to that place where Jesus is everything to us. Let's look in Luke 21. So I'm just going to different passages where it uses that term to be watchful, to watch. And here's another warning, and again, it's about being watchful for when the Son of Man comes, and when the day comes, we want to be alert. So in Luke 21, in verse 34, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. He's talking about the coming of the Son of Man before that in verse 25 to 28. That day, the coming of the Son of Man will come upon us unexpectedly if our hearts are weighed down with worldly things. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, we're all going to be before the Son of Man, but only the ones that are going to stand are the ones who've been watching, who've escaped this world through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can do in our own power. That's even, you know, Jesus was crying out, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." Like, we need his Holy Spirit to help. But we need to have that sobriety in us. You know, just like alcohol affects the brain, affects that kind of frontal cortex area where we impairs our decision making. The world is an alcohol. It intoxicates and it affects our ability to discern and have judgment and make good decisions and to know the seriousness of sin. Let's look in, actually first, when you think of praying also is a verb and it's a continuous action. It's, how do we pray continually? You know, there's talks about the will of the Lord, it's rejoice always, to pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. How can we pray continually? In Timothy, it also says that he exhorts the men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension, or some say wrath and doubting, but pray everywhere, pray continually, to constantly be in a mindset of prayer, because for when temptation comes, we're ready and alert to call on the name of the Lord. So 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Again, talking about the day of the Lord. 1 to 8. But concerning, I'll wait for a minute. 1 Thessalonians after Colossians and then 1 Thessalonians. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. A lot about watching, not sleeping, being awake and alert, and not getting drunk, but being sober. It all ties together. You know, it says that he's coming as a thief in the night. Is he going to come as a thief in the night for us who are watching and who are in Christ? Is he going to come as a thief? No. It's encouraging, right? You, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. No, he's not coming as a thief for us. He's coming as one with healing in his wings. Because we'll be ready. Be watchful. We'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. He's going to come with healing in his wings, with comfort and love, and we'll be able to be with him forevermore. And those are comforting words. And for those who are not watching and not praying and who are listening to this, there's going to be a lot of people around saying, it says in verse 3, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Who's saying peace and safety? It's the false prophets, the false teachers, the ones who say that grace is a license for sin. Those are the ones that are saying, no, it's okay. It's peace. The Lord came to give you peace, even though you're a slave of sin. That's not the case. That's not what the Bible says. Then sudden destruction says. So we have to believe the word. It's not peace and safety. There's peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Yes, and he's able to give us peace. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But we have to take heed to his warnings. Because we have the encouragement that God did not appoint us to wrath. If we're in a place where we're experiencing wrath, we can come to him humbly. Call on his name and he can give us grace and mercy and show us his compassion. He did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. There's salvation through Jesus Christ. So in James chapter 1, this was something a bit, I saw that was a little bit new, and I was looking into the different words that were used here in James chapter 1. So temptation comes when we're spiritually asleep. It can come when we're spiritually sleeping. We're inattentive, we're careless, we're prayerless, we're unguarded. But in James chapter 1, I want to look at this. It says in verse 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So that person is not being watchful, right? Drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. All right, so when each one is tempted, is temptation sin? No, temptation is not sin. But it says, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. So what does that word drawn away mean? I want to look at that. Drawn away means to draw out. Metaphorically, to lure forth in hunting and fishing as game is lured from its hiding place. Okay, so when you think about hunting and fishing, we know we have some fisher people that like fishing, some that like hunting. And I never thought about it in a hunting and fishing aspect, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. Our own desires is like a lure that draws us out of a safe place. Draws us out of a place of watching and praying. Draws us out of that hiding place. And we put ourselves at risk. It's not necessarily we haven't sinned at this place because we haven't given in, but we're in a place now to be tempted. So what could that look like? What could that look like? It could look like a few things. Let me give you a couple examples. We are tired, and we want to just kick back a little bit and relax. We're tired of kind of just the fight. We feel like we've earned a little relaxed time. And the Spirit is saying, don't pick up your phone and go onto the Instagram or whatever other social media and just scroll through. The Spirit is saying, don't do that right now. You need to watch and pray here because you know what happened the last time you did that. Okay, so, but you thought, well, you're strong, and you have no desire, you're not going to be doing that. You're just going to go and look what your friends are doing and so on. But Instagram has a lot of algorithms. A lot of algorithms, and they know who you are and what your weaknesses are. And they throw in this, and they throw in that in between. And you weren't going there to intentionally look at things or do things. All of a sudden, there it is. The lure. You've come out of that hiding place where you shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have been there. You weren't. You come out and now it's there. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to dwell on it, gaze upon it? Are you going to click on it now? Okay, so now when you, if you do that, that's the enticing part, okay? So when you're drawn away by your own desires and enticed, okay? So that word enticed, where is it here? It means to bait, like fishing. It looks attractive, okay? So you're drawn away, you're coming out of that hiding place, and now the bait comes and you're enticed. What do you do with it? Okay. When what it says here, your desire, you're drawn away by your own desires and enticed. Then when desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. So all that part is leading up to the sin. If you're on that and then you see it and you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Okay, you've now resisted. But that enticement, that lure now is there. And we have a decision. So the best thing is to, like it says in Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent or a wise or a discerning man foresees evil. You foresee it there, and you hide yourself. You don't come out of that hiding place. You don't get drawn out by your own desires. You foresee that that place is going to be a risk. These are practical things. For some, it might not be sexual sin. For some, it might be scrolling and looking at the friends and coveting what they're doing and, you know, not liking your life and wanting what their life is. That's called covetousness, jealousy. Some might be, you might see it and judge someone, and now you've been judging someone. So there's a lot of things that can happen. We have to know where our weaknesses are. We need to hide ourselves, foresee those things, and not go there. If we know that there's a risk being maybe on our phones in a private place or on a computer in an isolated room, we don't do that. You see, we avoid it. If we know there's a group of people where we tend to gossip, we avoid that. If there's worldly company, we avoid that. Those are the things where we will stay in our hiding place, under the shelter of his wings, under the covering, so that we won't come out of that place like prey and then bite onto that hook and be caught and snared and snatched because the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's a hunter. Trying to get us, right? So we have to be watchful, alert, awake, and aware of these things, and not be drawn away. When I thought about Eve and how this whole process happened, there she was walking there, and then the serpent came, and then she started engaging in the conversation. She was just having a conversation with the serpent. That was where she came out of that place, where she was safe, when she started talking to this crafty serpent. And the serpent then started to say things to put doubt and to get her eyes off of God and onto what she couldn't have. And then once she saw the fruit and how good it was for, you know, knowledge to make me wise, and it was good for food, there's the enticement. So I feel like that when you're drawn away by your own desires, is that engaging with those thoughts that come. The enemy speaks through our thoughts, through our mind, and we start engaging in these things, and we start to, rather than, no, that's not from God, that's from the flesh, I'm not going to engage in these thoughts of doubt or trying to get me off of, I'm saying not sinful thoughts, but just like trying to get us to a place where, to get us to the enticement, to get us to look at the tree of knowledge and good and evil and say, yeah, that's good. And then once you take it and she ate of it, the sin came. And if we continue to walk in that way and continue to practice and continue to walk and continue to sin and always give in to temptation, what does it say? Sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Well, I thought all sin was death. Well, there's a process. Just like a baby, you got to feed. When we're born again or a baby, we got to feed milk. The baby grows up, becomes a man and a woman. Sin, if you feed sin through practicing sin, it grows. And what does it say? Brings forth death. That's the falling away. That's when we've fed sin so much that our heart becomes so hard and calloused that their falling away happens. Let's finish in Ephesians chapter 5. Kind of summarizes everything nicely. Let's start in verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake you who sleep. Come out of your slumber. There's a verse that also says, awake, awake. Put on your beautiful garments. It's in Isaiah. Wake up and put on your beautiful garments. Put on that garment of salvation. In Revelation 16, it says, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We have to keep our garments. Right? Blessed is he who watches. So then in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, that's carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. There is a man in Proverbs, a young man, and he didn't have much understanding, and he was out walking at night. He was walking at night. He came out of that place where, you know, where he was drawn away by his own desires. He shouldn't have been walking at night, and he should not have been walking in that neighborhood. He put himself in a place to be tempted. And out came a woman. And then the enticement happened and sin happened. And it's like an arrow pierced him. It was an immorality. You know, another way I want to give an example is, you know, before you're married and you're in a relationship, how can a young man keep his way pure in any way? We have to take heed according to his word. We have to hide his word in our heart. We talked about with the young people. But how, you know, when you're in that relationship and you're, you know, you're, the goal is to get married, because there's no point in being in a relationship if there's no purpose to get to know them for the purpose of marriage. How are you going to keep yourself pure? You gotta have to set boundaries, but not only that, you have to be extremely vigilant to not put yourself in a situation of temptation. I would venture to say you should be very careful about how much alone time that you are with that person without people around. You should be in public spaces. You shouldn't be hiding out in a room. You shouldn't be by yourself somewhere in the dark. It says that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Be very careful about your personal boundaries and so on. You want to be pure and blameless, and don't put yourself into those situations where immorality and uncleanness can happen. It's very important. And when he says, you know, we want to keep the marriage bed pure and undefiled, there's a whole process leading up to that that's unclean, where it talks about lust, lewdness, impurity, and engages a lot of things up to the point of the marriage bed being defiled. So we have to take it extremely serious. Walk carefully, not as fools, but redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Those are the things that walking as being watchful is being filled with the Spirit. You know, in Galatians 5, it says the Spirit is against the flesh and the flesh is against the Spirit. And they're contrary to one another. So you don't do the things that you please. So if we're feeding our spirit, we're not going to do the things that our flesh pleases. If we're feeding the flesh, we're going to be weak and we're not going to do the things that the Spirit pleases. Because they're contrary to another, so we need to feed the Spirit in order to be able to stand, in order to be able to have victory over temptation. These are the things that I wanted to share. Let us be watchful. Let us pray. Humble ourselves. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save completely. Amen.